Hey guys, this is Justin Roran, pastor of Restoration Church, and like folks all over the world right now, we're dealing with the ramifications of the COVID-19 virus pandemic. We're not able to gather like all the other churches, and so you're hearing the podcast. It's still going to keep going, but it's going to be from our home, and it's going to be in congruence also with the video and online resources, and you can find those at restorationlex.com/online, ways to get connected in community, ways to serve in the middle of a very difficult time. So I encourage you to check that out. Again, it's restorationlex.com/online. Thanks for listening.
You know, as the news has progressed over the last week, and as the extended period of isolation that we're going to face moving forward has become a reality, I have honestly wondered what to share with you as a pastor from the scriptures. And that might seem weird, I know, because there's plenty of comforting verses in the scriptures. There's tons. I mean, people in the scriptures went through very difficult times. But when I looked, I found myself wanting something a little deeper than just comfort for my head. I found myself longing for something that spoke to where I was in my own heart. The emotions, the feelings, the struggles, the anxieties. And luckily in the scriptures, there's a book that speaks very, very deeply into this. It speaks into the very raw emotions and longings we feel in our hearts in times like these. It speaks to tears that we face, questions that we want to ask. It speaks to the deep, deep pain and yet the deep, deep hope that we can feel at the same time. I'm talking about the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a book that saints of old, that spiritual giants, men and women who have gone before us, have come back to over and over and over again as a source of comfort, as a source of knowing God, as a source of knowing how to pray. And I can't think of anything that we need to do in this time more than to learn how to pray, to learn how to come to God with not just our words, but with us, to come in relationship. And the Psalms are a wonderful tool for that, for teaching us how to pray, for teaching us how to move forward as we grow, not only as individuals, but as a community. And the reason why it's so, so effective in teaching us how to pray is that it is unrelentingly, almost uncomfortably honest. I mean, the stuff that you see in the Psalms, the hard questions, the real emotions, the deep longings that are expressed both in joy and in pain are incredible. And I think in a time like this, when we're facing uncertainty, when we're facing confusion, when we're facing a lot of fears, there's no greater hope for us than to look at the Psalms and to learn how to pray. So we're starting a series here. We're going to start a series called When Words Fail. And we're calling it that because I don't know about you, but there are times that I wake up and I go to pray in moments like this and I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to feel. I just know I should pray. And luckily for us, we have this treasury of beauty, these songs, these prayers that have been anchors for people for so many years. So that's what we're doing. We're looking, beginning today, through the Psalms and allowing the Psalms to not just inform us theologically, but also to teach us how to interact with and how to know God in a deeper way, especially in times of trouble. So the one we're going to look at today, and I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to this or open your apps wherever you are in your homes, gather together with folks, your family, or maybe some friends, and to think through this together. We're looking at Psalms 13, which Psalms 13 is one of the most honest psalms that we're going to get here. So look with me here, reading from the NIV version. It says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he's been good to me. Father, we come to your word asking not just for simple comfort, but for depth. Because God, when the storms come, we need more than just what we see on the surface. We need the roots of deep faith to sustain us in times of trouble. And so, Lord, use the Psalms, use this time, use all of these things to deepen our roots together, to grow closer to you, to grow deeper into you, into who you are calling us to be as individuals and as a community. Lead us from here in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, a month or so ago, I was meeting with the mayor. I shared this story a few weeks ago when we were gathering together. I was meeting with the mayor with a bunch of faith leaders. And if you know me, you know that I'm not the most formal person. Whenever I get in really formal settings, I feel very uncomfortable. I feel like I need to go like wash the dishes or something. And so I'm with the mayor, and there's all these other faith leaders as well. And I get in the room. I didn't know what to expect. And most of these people are dressed up very well. I mean, there's folks, there's priests that have the collar on. They have suits and everything. And to be honest with you, I thought there's going to be a lot of people there. No one would notice me. And it was a small gathering. So I'm just wearing like a button-up shirt like this. And my buddy Chad is there with me. And I'm listening, and I'm nervous, because I get nervous in these situations when I'm with, you know, people like that who are in power. And I listen to people talking, and they begin to address her as Madam Mayor. And I start thinking, thank God I didn't start talking first, because I wouldn't know to address her as Madam Mayor. I would not know to do that. I don't have a lot of experience in rooms like these. And everything was cordial and kind. It wasn't like there was a formality that wasn't, you know, didn't allow any sort of connection or anything like that. Mayor Gorton's awesome. She was very kind. But it put me on edge, and it made me nervous about how I should say things. Not just what I should say, but how I should say it. I had to think about those two things at the same time. I didn't want my words to come across as being disrespectful to the people who were in power right in front of me. And I think about this moment when I think about this psalm, because when I think about God's power and majesty that we talk about all the time, how he is big and the creator of the universe, then I think sometimes that we expect that our prayers should echo some sort of, I guess, appropriate formality to go along with the God who is so big. And there's a sense that that's true, that we see in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Yes, he is big. He is wonderful. But then there are prayers like this in the Psalms that when I think about saying something like this in front of a powerful king, I mean, imagine walking into the courts of a king who is ruler over all things and saying, "Hey, how long? How long?" Imagine just leveling at the king your deepest, darkest complaints and your longings at him. Imagine the discomfort of that situation. Imagine how you would wonder if your language is disrespectful to his office. Imagine you thinking, is this inappropriate for the one that I address? And I wonder if that's a hindrance for many of us in prayer, because we know the bigness and the beauty and the majesty of God, and so we feel as if we have to measure our words when we come to him, or he will be disappointed. You know, if you think that, the Bible maybe disagrees with you, I guess you could say. Because even when we speak to God, and there are many psalms that speak of this majesty and glory and beauty of God, but then there's psalms like this that show that our laments, our prayers that are full of longing, crying out to God and coming before him, are just as valid. And just as needed, and just as welcomed in the presence of God as the ones who come with flowery language and wonderful things to say. I bet you that you, along with me, I know I have echoed those first two words in the psalm this week. Those first two words were, how long? I mean, how long will the season last? How long will I have to stay here in isolation in my home? How long will we be in these times? How long will our country go through this difficulty that we're facing? And verse 2, it says exactly what many of us are thinking in this time. Verse 2 says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? Have you been that honest in prayer? I don't know about you, but that verse really hits home for me. You see, over the last week, many of you know me. If you don't, let me introduce you to a little bit about me. I'm a pretty easygoing guy. But what my easygoing nature would hide sometimes is that there is, at times, a struggle with anxiety. There is a time when I'm wrestling with details in a way that sometimes is not seeable on the surface. So this week, I've had trouble sleeping. I've had trouble thinking through things. And it's not really been because I'm just wrestling with fear and panic. It's just been the details and the figure out this and that. And how are we going to do this as a church? How are we going to do this as a family? How are we going to figure out with the kids being at home? How long are we going to have to deal with this? How are we going to stay connected? How are we going to serve the needs in our community when we're supposed to be isolated in our homes? Just all of these things swirling around our head. And I've had the hardest time this week sleeping, thinking about this, wrestling with these thoughts. And honestly, all of them summed up in those first two words of the psalm saying, how long, God? How long? How long? And I know there's an impulse that is both spoken and unspoken in Christian circles, that when you express this type of question, this type of what would be considered in some circles doubt about God, you would be given a very dismissive religious trope. We talked about this last week. We give a Bible verse. It says, don't fear. God says, don't fear. The Bible says, don't fear. As if it's this dismissive reality of don't fear, meaning this isn't real. And the fact of the matter is that from last Sunday to this Sunday, it's becoming very, very clear that this is real. And listen, some folks are going to come to you with that response. They're going to come to you in the midst of your sadness and maybe your anger and your questions, and they're going to give you Bible verses and easy answers and tell you that when you ask questions like, how long, oh Lord, that maybe you don't have enough faith. But let me be very clear. The Bible does not do that. The Bible does not come to you in your questions. Let me make this exceedingly clear right now. God's not afraid of your questions. God is not put off by your fears. He is not scared of your anxiety. He is not disappointed in the emotions and the longings that you are feeling in this moment. In fact, the opposite is true. What the Psalms teach us, my friends, is that God wants us to simply bring our honesty and who we really are in these moments to Him. And He wants to welcome us in that. You see, I speak to my wife and my kids very differently than I would speak to the mayor, because there's not a sense of formality. There's not a measured word that's spoken there, because I'm confident that they love me and I love them and they'll receive me and I receive them. And so because of this, there's an intimacy in our relationship. And because of that intimacy, there's honesty. In fact, I would argue here that honesty and intimacy are inseparable, especially in prayer. And this is our first big lesson we see in the Psalms, and that's that honesty and intimacy, they are inseparable in prayer. If we want to be intimate in prayer with God, if we want to grow closer to Him, it has to come from a place of honesty. Let me explain why that is. It's because when we think that we have to measure our words, the unfortunate consequence of our prayers is that we are pretending to be someone that we are not in this moment. We're bringing God a false reality of our emotions and our feelings and our fears, when in reality he wants us. That's why these Psalms, like Psalms 13, are so important, because they teach us very clearly that what God desires in prayer, more than anything else, it's very simple, what God desires is us. Not the us that's pretending like we have it all together. Not the us that's pretending like we're not afraid. Not the us that's pretending like that we don't think about these things on our bed at night as we're trying to go to sleep. But the us that's feeling the very real emotions of times like these. God just simply wants us. Which allows us in this to stop pretending. Notice in the last two verses, though, there's a shift, because David, who wrote this song, he has an anchor in the midst of this. Very brutal honesty. He says in the last two verses, let's look together, it says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Those words, unfailing love, In the Hebrew, that's a word hesed, and it's a word that's translated unfailing love, but it's bigger than love. It's bigger than I just love this, I love this pizza, I love this meal. It means an unrelenting, pursuing, faithful love. A love that's actually running after you. A loving kindness, as it's translated in many cases. And David is saying that even in my questions, even in my doubts and confusions, even in the deepest, darkest honesty that I bring before God, I trust in his unfailing love, in his hesed for me. Just as we see in the words of Psalms 23, that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. What that's saying is goodness, God's hesed, his loving kindness is actually pursuing us in the midst of these questions, in the midst of these emotions, in the midst of these doubts and fears that we are expressing to him. So you see, we're told that we can't hold in this beautiful paradox of faith these deep, hard questions and this deep confidence in the love of God. And if you were told that, you were lied to. The Psalms tell us that sometimes in the very same moments we can feel these deep, raw questions, but this deep, abiding confidence and love for us, pursuing us. It says that we should sing his praise, and I think sometimes, how can I sing in a time like this? How can I wander in the midst of my longings and fears? And David tells us there in the last verse, he says, "For he has been good to me." David is stopping in the midst of these questions, in the midst of the how longs, and he's remembering that his story is full of God's faithfulness. He's taken him through so many things. He's been faithful in his hesed, his love, his unfailing kindness toward them. And that there's never been a moment when God has left him nor forsaken him. So in the middle of prayers, of wandering and questions and remembering the goodness of God, we anchor ourselves in the fact that he's been faithful before, he is faithful now, and he will be faithful again. So we, like David, we pray these kind of prayers. Prayers that live in this strange paradox of calling out to God, how long, but also calling out to God, I trust you. I trust your love. I trust your faithfulness to me. It reminds me of the cross. It reminds me of the fact that Jesus, as he was about to be betrayed, is in the garden and he's saying to the Father, "Lord, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." The greatest act of suffering was also the greatest act of hesed, of love, that we will ever face, that we will ever receive. And so together as a community, as Restoration, we receive that love within the paradox of our longings and our hopes. From a personal standpoint, here's how I would encourage you this week. Take time in prayer. And instead of giving God your formalities and the things that you should say, I want you to just practice praying to Him from the real you. The real emotion, the real longing, the real fear, and bring it to Him. What God wants more than anything in this time is not you pretending like you have some sort of impenetrable faith, but He wants the one who has a small faith and a big God in the midst of a very hard time. And as a community, I also want to encourage us together, as you meet in your online community groups, as you get connected, to be real with folks. Be real about your fears. To not pretend, and to feel like you have to pretend in front of people who love you in the midst of troubles like this. And to, as you meet online, as you navigate this very difficult time, to talk through and to be honest, to text one another. I'm struggling right now. I need prayer. I need your help. I need your guidance. We need to connect with one another in these times and remember this paradox of love that we live within. I want to close today by taking communion. And so if you're at home, maybe you have juice or bread or wine or whatever that may be. If you want to pause, you want to go grab something and join with me, do that. We would love for you to do that. I want to do this together as a remembrance. And I know we're not doing it together as we normally do, but it's still a remembrance. It's a meal that we share together, remembering that God has reconciled us to Himself in Jesus, but God has also reconciled us to one another in Christ. And that even in these difficult times, we have a family to belong to. So take the bread, representing Jesus' body, broken for us. And the juice, representing His blood shed for our sins. And together as a community, we remember His sacrifice that made us whole. And then we remember that in these times, the words of Isaiah 53, that says, by His wounds we are healed. And so, Father, in these times, we take these elements, remembering that we have a family that walks with us in this time of isolation and fear. We remind God that nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We remember, God, that even in the suffering, that You bring redemption. And so, God, in the midst of this, would You comfort us in Your presence that we believe and know that is already with us? Would You give us peace and wholeness? Would You help us to redeem these times? And Lord, I know You're already planting the seeds for newness and life together. So, Lord, bring about Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven in the midst of the struggle. Lord, we pray for healing over our nation. We pray for renewal over our nation, over every nation, not just our nation, but over the whole world. God, use these times to renew us, to bring us new life. And God, we also plead with You for healing, that You bring wholeness over our land once again. We love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.